heaven's throne, you came to us and set your heart upon the cross. We'll never know the sacrifice you made for all our sin and all our shame. You took the nails and took our place. No one else could do what you have done. One name. One name is higher. One name is stronger than any grave, than any throne. Christ exalted over all.
Build
trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. It's my anchor holds within. Trumpet sound, oh may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
God, you really are our cornerstone, our solid rock on which we stand. Lord, even through uncertain and crazy times, Lord, we can rely and lean on you because of who you are. You are faithful. You are good. You are loving. God, we just ask that we can put all of our hope, all of our trust, and all of our faith in who you are and what your Son has done for us on the cross. We love you. We thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome, Mountain View, and thanks for joining us today. Whether you're at home, whether you're watching online somewhere else, or Whether you're here at one of our campuses joining us for a watch party, I just want to say thanks for making us part of your day today. Let's jump right in this morning with a question. I think it's one that we've all kind of worked our way through at some point or another. Have you ever had those times where you ask yourself, do I fit in? There's times where you question whether or not you really belong. I think we've all wrestled there at one point or another. We've all been there, and it's a really uncomfortable feeling. And when we start questioning, this time of uncertainty gets seared into our memory. And sometimes this happens when we get knocked low. But I think, at least for me personally, it happens more often than not when I find myself in a position of honor and I'm really not sure how I got there. And I know that I really don't belong there. I can distinctly remember there were two times like this in my life. Once was as a child, and the other was much more recently. See, last fall, Tammy and I got blessed with free tickets to the NASCAR race at Richmond last fall. A friend of ours, Terry, gave us tickets, and we were assuming he was just giving us some grandstand tickets, and we were pretty excited for that, honestly. But when we got the tickets in hand, and when we took a closer look, we realized they were actually suite tickets. No, I mean, literally, they were tickets in the suites. We realized that we had been granted access to the race sponsor's suite. We took the elevator up, walked in the door. Executives from the company greeted us, handed us pit passes, allowed us to head down, walk down pit road, experience some of the things behind the scene. We got to walk through the garages, got behind the scenes access, seeing the car set up, and I think there's a picture here of a crew chief meeting. Got to sit in on the crew chief meeting as they assigned pit locations for the day's race. It was really exciting. And those executives told us, hey, make sure you head on to the track. Get a chance to get your picture there at the finish line. And Tammy and I looked at each other and said, what is going on here? We were out of our element. We knew we were experiencing things that we never would have been able to do had someone else not made a way for us, had Terry not given us his place. So after checking out everything down below, we headed back to the air-conditioned suite. And let me tell you, that day, the air conditioning was extremely important. And then we got to dine on a gourmet buffet. I wish I had a picture of that for you, but I was too busy eating. So, no pictures, but it was a great time. We settled into our prime seats next to store owners for an unforgettable night. See, we were experiencing how the other half lived, so to speak. This experience we knew we'll probably never have again. I knew we didn't belong there. Had it not been for someone else's generous gift, we would never have been there. We didn't fit in that night, but we were welcomed as though we did. We had been lifted to a place of honor. We didn't earn that place, but we were so blessed to be there anyway. I told you there's two times. The other one as a child. I remember my dad had a banquet to attend for the Department of Agriculture. My mom was supposed to go with him that night, but something came up. She wasn't able to make it. And my parents started talking. They knew I was getting interested in what my dad was doing for a career and asking questions. So they decided they thought I'd be old enough for my first adult banquet. It was probably about 12 years old at the time, maybe even 13. But that night, I sure didn't feel like it. See, I thought I was pretty big stuff until we got to that table to sit down. We walk into a large round table and look around at each plate. There's a name card. And I start to read the assigned seats, and I see names like Boyd Wolf, Pennsylvania Secretary of Agriculture, Robert Bob Casey, Pennsylvania Governor. Their spouses were with them. There were others at that table that night, but I can assure you there were no other 12-year-olds. This kid's mind started to spin. I knew the pressure was on. I knew my dad was counting on me that night not to let him down, not to embarrass him. I look at the place sitting in front of me, and I begin to panic. You know this I'm talking about. You've seen this probably at some point, where there's like four forks, two knives, and probably three spoons that night. If I'm honest, at that age, I was barely using one of those at home. And of course, there's no paper napkins. No, this is the fancy fabric napkins. Too nice of a fabric to ever get dirty and actually use it like a napkin. And of course, the tablecloth had to be that pure, bright white fabric. It only got worse when I discovered that they were serving the meal family style. What that meant was that I'd have to take a dish from somebody to my left, receive it, put it on my plate, and then pass it along. Well, for this night's banquet, that meant that I would have to receive food from Pennsylvania Secretary of Agriculture, Boyd Wolf, try not to spill it on him, myself, or my dad as I took the food, put it on my plate, and passed along. Everything was going okay. It wasn't perfect, but it was going okay that night until it came time for the gravy. You wouldn't think that would be a big deal, but as it comes around, it's this fancy china porcelain plate with a gravy boat on top of it filled with a heavy, awkward liquid and then a spoon, a ladle to have to scoop it out with. I had to try and maneuver all this without spilling it on these officials around me and making a mess. I had to have a look of terror on my face that night because Mr. Wolf, the Secretary of Agriculture, what he said next, I'll never forget. He took one look at me and then announced to the table, "You know what? I always thought these things were pretty silly. Why do we have a scoop if they make the bowl with a spout? How about for tonight, we just put the little plate down, we put the ladle with the plate, and let's just pass and pour for the night. How's that sound to everybody?" And so the whole table, Pennsylvania's governor included, agreed wholeheartedly. And to be honest with you, I think everybody was a little relieved to put aside pretenses for the night. My dad looked relieved, smiled, and shook his head ever so slightly. But in that moment, for this 12-year-old, Boyd Wolf was a hero. Because that night he laid aside all the pride and prestige that he'd earned. And instead he chose to get down on my level. I found myself in a situation I didn't belong, but he made it so that I felt like I did. So keep those stories in mind. That's kind of the direction we're heading today. But before we go any further, I want to just take a moment to go back to where we were last week. If you're able to join us last week, you remember Scott did a phenomenal job walking us through verses 11 through 18 from chapter 2 of Ephesians. I just want to kind of hit those last few verses again. We're at verse 16 through 18, where Scott covered last week, talking about, "Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. Our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews that were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us." It's just important. I want to highlight where he left us off last week, because what this says is Jesus Christ, he made a way. Jesus Christ cleaned up our mess. He made us right with God. Because of his death on the cross, the sin debt was paid. We were made acceptable to God. Now remember, as we're going through Ephesians, this is actually a letter that the Apostle Paul has written to the Ephesian people, that Ephesian church. As Scott pointed out last week, these people were at religious odds with the Jewish people. But the point is, Christ fixed that. See, Jesus put an end to that perceived division between the two groups. He put them on equal standing with God. And that phrase we're not going to forget from next week, the unlovable are loved. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross, all of us can come to God the Father. We all have the same opportunity at an eternity in heaven with him. It's no matter how low we feel, no matter what we've done, no matter whether you think you belong here today or not, Jesus is saying, welcome. And so that's where we're going to pick up today. Scott left us off at verse 18. We're starting at verse 19. Paul writes, it says, "So now, consequently, therefore, because of what Jesus did, you Gentiles, you're no longer strangers, no longer foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You're members of God's family." Melvin, do you understand what Jesus did? With his death, his resurrection on the cross, Jesus broke down all of the barriers. For all of us that ever felt like we didn't belong, he's made a way. Jesus made it so that in the kingdom of God, everyone has a place. Everyone can belong. Jesus tore down the racial barriers, the social barriers, economic barriers, denominational barriers. Jesus ripped it all wide open. So that now the only fence left is between those that are in Christ and those that are not in Christ. And that, my friends, is a barrier that can be so easily scaled and overcome. Because of Jesus, we don't have to question whether or not we belong. We don't have to doubt whether or not we fit into the kingdom of God. Jesus made it so that we're not strangers. We're not foreigners. We're not just citizens of heaven. But Paul writes that we are members of God's very own family. So if you've ever felt that hopeless despair of the belief that your past cannot be overcome, I can assure you with Christ, all things are possible. If you've ever asked yourself, am I good enough? Do I belong? Jesus solved the problem. Do you fit in at church? Will you fit in heaven? My friends, Jesus made sure that we do. We are in a place of honor for all of eternity. But we're not left to feel uncomfortable with that. See, Jesus brought himself down to our level. And then he picked us back up, back to his level of honor. Jesus took our dishonor. He took our punishment. He took our condemnation. Jesus freed us from what we earned. And he gave us his reward. That Mountain View family is the power and the beauty of the gospel message. Remember the story of how my friend Terry gave us those tickets to the race? He gave us his place of honor in the suite. He allowed us to enter places we really didn't belong. But his gift made it so that we did. His gift allowed Tammy and I access to the pits and the garages and the air conditioning and the buffet and the gifts and the free merchandise and the parking and all the service and the amenities. And we earned absolutely none of it that night. It was simply his gift to us. So I ask you, if that's the work of a mere man, can you even begin to fathom how much more Jesus has done for us? Picture it, eternity in heaven's mansions, on streets of gold, worshiping our God who is the very definition of love, being forgiven of all of our stupidity, forgiven for all of our selfish acts. We've been given access to the throne of heaven. We call the creator of the world our Father because he's adopted us into his very own family, because we put faith into his son, Jesus. It's our faith is that all access, behind the scenes, pit pass, suite level ticket to eternity. It's an amazing gift. We've been lifted to a place of honor. We've been made to belong, not because of what we've done, but because of what he gave us. And then the story of my first adult banquet as a 12-year-old. I mean, you want to talk about being out of my league that night. But remember what Boyd Wolf, the Secretary of Agriculture, did. He came down to my level. He showed compassion. He showed empathy. See, I had no business at that banquet, let alone at a table with high-ranking government officials. I did nothing to earn it, nothing to deserve it, yet there I was. I felt so out of place that night. I had been given a place of honor, and I had no clue what to do with it. But it was the actions of Mr. Wolf that made me feel at ease. See, that night he removed the tension. He made me feel like I belonged. He freed me from the discomfort of being out of place. And so that's what Jesus does for us. See, Jesus came down from that place of honor. He left his glory to join us down here. Jesus experienced everything that we humans experience. And he made a way for us to belong in his Father's kingdom. So Jew or Gentile, red or yellow, black or white, doesn't matter. We're precious in his sight. All the discomfort of our differences, the shame of our past sins, Jesus handled it all when he took it to the cross. So now we can belong in a place of honor in heaven, calling God our Father. There's no man that could ever do what Jesus did. It was beyond comprehension that God would walk with man, that God would be in the same room. It was impossible until it wasn't. Then to go so far as to forgive our sins. Think about it. Only the one that has been offended could forgive the offense. And yet that's exactly what happened. See, all of our sins are an offense to God. Anytime that we give sports or this week's sale prices higher priority than time in God's house, it's offensive. If we're spending more on designer label clothing or on some lower level sports ticket than we're willing to spend on those that are suffering through poverty, we're offending God. If we're more focused on the bottom line than we are the people involved, it offends God. And you know, I could go on this list, but I don't have to. And I thank God that I don't have to go on. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, because he sacrificed himself, all these offenses are forgiven, no matter what they may be. And the cool thing is, Jesus doesn't just give us his place and take ours. Now, see, Jesus overcame our position. Jesus defeated the grave, and he took hold of the new life that he had earned for us. It wasn't that we were lifted up and Jesus was left low. No, see, Jesus defeated death. Death no longer has a right to those that have trusted in Jesus. So the song lyrics go, "Sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. Bought with the precious blood of Christ, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me." See, the gospel says that in spite of our shortcomings, we belong in the presence of the God and creator of this world, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did. We are welcomed into the presence of our King because of Jesus' death and his resurrection. And so, my friends, I want you to be extremely encouraged by all this today, but I will also say this. There are some of us that need reminded that we do not deserve any of it. Some of us have been a part of the family of God for so long that we have forgotten that there once was a time when we didn't belong. We've forgotten that we never have and never could have done anything to earn our way into his family. So I say to you, if you've called Jesus your friend for so long that you don't remember when he wasn't, then I would challenge you to reflect that we might not have it all together as well as we think we do. I ask that our need for a Savior might never be so far from our hearts that we would forget how great his love for us was. And by remembering his love for us, it should move us to welcome others into that faith family. It should move us to make them feel welcome, to make them feel that they too belong. I'm not going to be able to spend a lot of time here, but I think it's worth noting. In our passage from today, verse 20, it says, "Together, we are his house. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself." Now, there's many takeaways we get from that verse, but here's what I hope you take away. In Jesus, we all belong. We all need each other. See, Jesus is the cornerstone. He's that first stone that's been laid. All the other stones are laid around him and placed around him. Jesus is the most important stone. After him, there are apostles and prophets that become the foundation of the walls of our faith. But what blows my mind, not only have we been forgiven, not only are we comforted, not only are we welcomed into the kingdom of heaven, but we actually get to be a part of that kingdom. We're part of what makes up God's holy temple. Verse 21 gets me. It says, "We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." I want you to understand, Paul's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus. And at this time, this church is made up of some Jewish and some Gentile believers. These are two groups of people that before Jesus would have never been a part of anything together. The racial, economic, and the religious barriers that once seemed so insurmountable were decimated by Jesus. So with that wall of division torn down, we become a part of God's craftsmanship. We're being built into a wall that doesn't divide. Now see, this wall, it fortifies. Picture with me how bricks are laid. We've got a picture up here. Each row of brick is joined together by the mortar between it. The mortar compensates for any differences. It allows the bricks to be a good fit. These bricks, they're not all the same, but they still fit together. And then the next row is laid so that each brick bridges across the top of the two below. What this says, we need each other. We need each other for a strong and stable foundation. The better that we're able to put aside our differences, the stronger the foundation will be for the next generation of believers, that they can build their faith on top of our legacy. So if Jesus is the cornerstone, then I say it's the Holy Spirit that's the mortar. That Holy Spirit's at work in each of us. The Holy Spirit that fills in for our weaknesses. It allows us to fit together in spite of our rough edges. And if a brick is missing or if a brick is too far apart from the others, the wall is weakened. Mountain View, if we don't welcome others, If we keep those that are different from us at a distance, we're weakening God's church. See, the church is stronger when we can put aside our differences and come together. It says they will know we are Christians. How? By our love. The gift of belonging, it's available to all that are willing to come to the table to dine with Jesus. Being a part of something bigger than ourselves, it's offered to all that will join with Jesus and others. We're pursued by a loving God, a God that's willing to sacrifice for us, a God that leaves the 99 to pursue us. We're invited into his home where a place has been prepared for us. Jesus offers us a place to belong. He offers us his place of honor. Jesus removes our shame. He gives our lives significance. Each of us matter to Jesus. He makes the offer available to everyone. May we never be guilty of causing another to feel unwelcomed. And so I ask you, if you haven't already, will you take Jesus up on that offer? Will you say yes to faith? Will you say yes to making Jesus the Lord of your life? Will you say yes to putting Jesus on the throne of your heart? Will you trust him to lead you through life? Will you accept that gift of forgiveness that has been offered on the cross? My friends, the invitation is yours. Will you accept? I want you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, we find ourselves blessed beyond measure when we choose to say yes to Jesus. Father, many of us today have walked the walk of faith. We've said yes to Jesus, and he's carried us through, he's led us through life. We know that heaven awaits. We know that we find blessings on this earth that we didn't deserve. And God, for those of us that have called Jesus our friend so long that we don't remember when he wasn't, God, we just want to take the time to say thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to save us. But Lord, there are others listening today that are still wrestling. They still somehow feel like maybe they don't belong in church, or maybe they just would never fit in, so they're not sure about taking that step of faith. They're not sure about saying yes to Jesus. God, my prayer today is that the words you've given to be shared would ring true. God, I pray that everyone listening would know they have a place to belong, that they are loved and welcomed, and that they've been made to fit in your image. Father, we're all precious in your sight. We are all loved equally. We all belong because of Jesus' gift. God, I pray that that truth might be seared into our hearts. Maybe it's a great reminder for us today, Lord, or maybe someone's hearing the truth for the first time. And Father, that person is going to say yes today. If that person is listening today and says, yes, Lord, I need to belong. I need to be a part of something bigger than myself. I need to know that I'm loved and accepted just the way I am. Father, draw them. Draw them to faith. May they know that Jesus' gift is for them, that they are loved. And put the faith in Jesus, asking for forgiveness of the sins and repenting in pursuit of you. It's in your Son, Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. If you've made that decision today, I want you to please let your online host know. Or if you're here at one of our campuses watching, let the worship venue host know that you've made a decision. Because we want to be with you. We want to support you as you find your place to belong in God's family. Mountain View, God bless.
Drought and storm, what heights of love, what
What depths of peace when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Whoa. Here in the power of Christ, we stand.